See, that existence is something that you need. This is what we don't think of most of the time. I need existence, otherwise I am not. So that I can be, I need existence. You have not given it to yourself. You cannot even take yourself out of existence. You can kill yourself, please don't. You can kill yourself, but on the existence of your immortal soul, you have no hold. You did not bring your immortal soul into existence, and you cannot take it out of it. You can harm it, but you cannot take it out of existence. You have no hold on your existence. So, let me just run through this again. You will see how well you understood before the break already. When I say that I am, then I am talking, it's a repetition now, okay? When I say I am, I use a form of to be. So I'm talking about being. This is the thing that normally I take for granted. It is saying, I am a creature. I am created. Because someone, for us that is God, someone gave me this existence. Remember yesterday we quoted in the catechism, I forgot the number, that our immortal soul is directly created by God. Okay? So, He gives us existence. And this existence is something you cannot give to anyone. Because you don't even have hold on your own existence. You cannot put anything into existence, not even a wonderful painting. What you do when you paint, and you are a good painter, you very skillfully order the paint on the canvas, but you're not creating paint. You can make paint from, I don't know, soil and rocks and whatever, but those pieces you're not creating neither. You cannot give existence to nothing. You can modify things that are around. And if you modify very skillfully, it becomes a nice painting. But the artist, by the end of the day, they are modifiers, not creators. This is not to diminish artists, okay? It's very nice they are around. We need beauty in our life. It's very important. But they modify. They do not really create in the sense of bringing into existence what does not exist yet. Yeah, like now in this talk, I would restrict the term to create to creating from nothing. This an artist doesn't. Okay, when Michelangelo created the Pietà, he needed a huge rock for it. Okay, he couldn't create that. Okay, now. So someone gives us existence. So we have existence because it is given to us. So we do not have it out of ourselves. Because we do not have it out of ourselves, we depend on the one who gives it to us. This dependency is important to recognize. So only the Creator can give existence, because He is the only one to whom existence has not been given. Hence the name I am. To be is his essence. To be is God's identity. He does not have existence. God is existence. He simply is. And in the strict sense of the word, only he is. I am only because of him. I am only through him. I cannot strictly say of myself that I am, full stop. I always have to add, because of him. I am because of him. I am because he gives me being, because he gives me existence. Now the mistake we must not make is that, well, he created me, then I'm born, and now I exist out of myself. He holds me in existence this very moment. He does not only give me my being, my existence at the beginning of my life, but he holds me and he sustains my being every single moment. He has to. Only then he can say, I am, because only he does not exist because of someone else. Only he can bring things into being. If the one who gives me being would stop sustaining my existence, I am gone. Not dead, annihilated. If the one who gives me my being, who gives me existence, stops sustaining me, stops sustaining my very being, I'm gone. Don't get afraid, he doesn't. God never starts something to then stop. But this is important to realize, because here we come in touch with our dependency on him. We are not dependent on God. We are utterly dependent on him. We are not just somehow connected to him. We are utterly dependent on the one who holds us in existence. Whenever you find yourself breathing, you know one thing for sure. My Creator is holding me this very moment. Remember yesterday we quoted St. Augustine, that God is closer to me than my innermost self. And that is because I am a creature and he is my creator. He must be close to me, because otherwise I am not. Before I forget this, some people, you will hear them preach and say, this verse, it means, I am the I am with you, or something like this. And this is not wrong. See, there is two ways of looking at this I am. One is like, if you want, like the Hebrew way of looking at it. And they would always emphasize like this immanence of God, that like God is with us, which is of course true. And there's then also, if you want, like the Greek way of looking at it, and this is the part that we are looking at now. It's not the one is more true than the other or not, so you don't play the two against each other, and it's not one is wrong and one is right. Are you with me? Just in case you hear the next preacher saying something else. Don't jump at him, okay? Have mercy. No, it's also true. Of course it's true that God is with us. It's very important. But there is also more to it. And this more we are looking at. Because God is existence, He cannot not exist. Okay, that sentence is not complicated. Because God is existence, He cannot not exist. He must exist. God must be. He is being. He is existence. He cannot not exist. To live sane then means to live according to His will. Probably you talk about it like next week. When those two ate from the apple there in the garden, they were essentially saying no to this dependency. Not much good came out of that. It is like you're cutting your life cord. How you call this? You know, like when the baby, the... Okay, this very difficult word, cord. Why you want to cut it? You would want to see how much more life can be communicated through it. So God is telling you, life works best this way. And you say, no, 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 I don't want to listen to you. What? You see, it is nonsense. Now, of course, you know, going out of the hall, before we are in the lunchroom, maybe, you know, some 3, 4, 5 sins occur already on the stairs. But it does help us to understand at least the nonsense of it. How it is the opposite of the way towards life. Not only because someone tells us, but even simply with plain reasoning. It makes no sense to sin. You always lose. Always. You never gain when you sin. Never. We are made of a very special material. We are made of nothing. So if our Creator steps away from us, we will have to depend on the material we are made of. But it is a big difference to be nothing or to be nothingness made into someone by God. It is a big difference to be nothing, or nothingness being made into someone by God. So, you are not nothing. And please, please never say it ever again. You are not nothing. To say I'm nothing is like a slap in the face of my Creator. To say I'm nothing has nothing to do with humility. You are a masterpiece. You are loved by God Himself. There's a beautiful saying from Romano Guardini. It's okay, just write the saying. He was a good man. A person to stand in front of God, a finite being, as the object of divine love, and therefore carrier of eternal meaning. To be loved by the infinite God gives your life eternal meaning. This is nice. You can also forget it. I thought it was just nice. Now this embrace, this dependency, if there's a quotation or something, just make a mark so you know which one come afterwards and I give it to you. Okay, I don't mind. Just don't ask me, you did for half an hour ago, then I might not know which one you're talking about. Okay, so. This dependency is something we embrace. It's not we accept. It's not we tolerate. It's not, I can't do anything about it anyway. We embrace this dependency. And to embrace this dependency, that is humility and sanity. To live sane, mentally sane, means embracing this dependency. Because it is there. To live sane, you have to live in reality. But not reality as we would like it to be or as it should be, but reality as it really is. So we embrace this dependency. We give it a big hug. We say, Lord, it is nice to be a child, and it is good to be dependent on you because you are a good God. See, this is also why yesterday we spent so much time at looking at how good God really is. Only God is the creator. There's only one. Only He is, and we exist only because of Him. And this is true for you and me, for angels, for galaxies, for flowers. It is true for anything that exists. I know this is a bit difficult. This is also why I gave you the chocolate today and not yesterday. But it is not a side issue. Even if you might still be struggling, still working through, it's okay. And hopefully you're still trying to work through, like, you know, in a month and in a year's time. And this is one of those pieces you look at and you look at and becomes bigger and bigger every time you look at it. But it is important. This is not like, you know, some philosophy who needs that. This is very important. Trust me, God wants us to know this. Now let's look into the catechism so you believe me a bit more. Magic number 213. You don't need to look for it now. You know, if you have a catechism, you can just look it up sometime. The revelation of the ineffable name, I am who am, contains the truth that God alone is. And is here is written in two capital letters. The revelation of this ineffable name contains the truth that God alone is. This is what we were working on the last half an hour. The Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures and following the church's tradition understood the divine name in this sense. God is the fullness of being and every perfection, without origin and without end. All creatures receive all that they are and have from Him. But He alone is His very being. And He is of Himself everything that He is. See, this 5 lines, you understand very easily now because you were laboring just half an hour. You still have to look at those 5 lines again and again, but only so that they become part of you, not because you don't understand them. The revelation of this name contains the truth that only God is. God is the fullness of being and also of every perfection. All creatures, you and me, we receive all that we are and all that we have from Him. And only He is His own being. Only He has His being, not from someone else. This is why only He is. Now, God has no love. This is also what the Catechism says. We just read. God has no love. And God has no mercy. God has no peace. In fact, God has nothing. Because God is love. God is mercy. God does not have knowledge. He is knowledge. He does not have justice. He is justice. God does not have peace. He is peace. This is the last half sentence in the quotation that we were just looking at, that looked a bit kind of cryptic. See, the last line in 2:1-3, it says, He alone is His very being, and He is of Himself everything that He is. God is, He doesn't have love, He is love. He is knowledge, He is mercy. We look a bit quick at Catechism 301. And we read with excitement, With creation, God does not abandon His creatures to themselves. He not only gives them being and existence, surprise, surprise, not only, the lecturer uses those words to make you feel bad, even the catechism uses them. He not only gives them being and existence, but also, and at every moment, upholds and sustains them in being. This is what we just said before. I just want to show you that it's not only me. And then it says, recognizing this utter dependence with respect to the Creator is a source of wisdom, freedom, joy, and confidence. Do you want to find wisdom, freedom, joy, and confidence? Then embrace this utter dependency. See, freedom is not that you can do what you want. Coming back to the law of gravity, freedom is not to jump off the roof when you want. I am free of gravity, and pang, it hits you. Freedom is to learn to live in the law of gravity. So you put a ladder on the roof and you walk down. Freedom in our life is not that I can do what I want. Freedom in life is living. Freedom is to recognize this dependency and to do what my Creator tells me. That is freedom. See, we always feel that God is kind of cutting our freedom with all the many commandments. And the opposite is true. His desire for you is freedom. And He shows you the way. So take that way. It is a source of wisdom, freedom, joy, and even confidence. There is a beautiful prayer, I just read it quickly, of Saint Teresa of Jesus. It's in the Catechism in 227. And this prayer, it kind of closes the section in the Catechism where it goes about the big, about the great I Am. This is like from 203 to 227. 203 to 227. Don't have to read it all today. This prayer says, Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes. God never changes. Patience obtains all. Whoever has God wants for nothing. God alone is enough. See, this last line, now after just a good hour, it makes much more sense. God alone is enough. Okay. This was a nice piece of work, no? Yeah. Take a deep breath. Now we talk about God is infinite. This is even nicer. The word infinite comes from a Latin word, finis. And the word finis, it means border, a fence, an end, some kind of a frame. But it's not very difficult. It comes from the Latin word finis, and that means border or a fence, some kind of an end, some kind of a frame. And then it is negated with this in. This is like appropriate, inappropriate. So appropriate is the good thing, inappropriate you don't want to wear. Are we together? Being tolerant, intolerant. Okay? So, being finite or being infinite? Yeah, it's the... So, and God is infinite. Now take something really big, like the universe. 12 billion light years. Is the universe infinite? Why? Pardon me? It's still expanding. We don't know whether it's infinite. Speak louder, Alan. I don't hear you. Yeah. Okay, suppose it doesn't extend anymore. Okay? Would it be then infinite? Because? Yep, okay, almost right. See, when we think about the universe being infinite or not, we are thinking about its size, about its expansion. Even if the expansion would have no limit, would the universe be then infinite? Because? Okay. You're not bad. Infinite does not mean very big. Okay? Infinite is not another word for being very big. Because infinite means no border, no fence, no limitation. This is very important. To be finite, it means to have some kind of a frame, to have some kind of a border, and to have such thing is a deficiency. Because there is something that you cannot, there is something that you have not, there is something that you are not. To be finite is a limitation. Are you with me? Good. I thought I lost you. So if there is something that you cannot do or be, then you are finite, not infinite. If there is even one little piece of limitation, then you are finite, not infinite. Infinite is a very fragile thing. You have just one limitation and you're done with being infinite. Okay? Linda, say yes. However small this limitation might be, it makes the infinite finite. Now, to be infinite is to have no border. No, I just say border, not always fence and blah, 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 okay? Now imagine this would be God. Then we are saying he has no border, no external border. This is horrible. For all those who listen afterwards, I'm putting the microphone because it just makes stupid sounds. Then, see, you can have limitations if you want, like external limitations. This is like limitations in this direction. You with me? But if in the interior you have borders, say one section here and another section here, then you have borders, then you're finite. What's the limitation? This part is not this part. That is a clear limitation. So maybe you have even more parts. Everything that has parts is finite. Being infinite means not having external, as it were, limitations, borders, but also not having internal limitations, borders. Are you with me? Yeah? Good. Because the interesting thing, of course, is always the conclusions. Now, is God infinite? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Good. So that means he has no borders and not even the hint of it. There is no limitation in God. We are not saying that God is very big. That is what we agreed before. Infinite does not mean very big. Okay? Say yes. It's just so that I know you are still there. God is not very big. He is infinite. And you will never come to see the end of him. Also not in eternity. Infinite is not very big. Infinite means infinite. Infinite has no end. You thought if you have only enough time, like eternity, you could walk once around him. Now you look at me like... A finite being can never contain or surround or comprehend an infinite being. Because infinite does not mean very big. It means no limit, no border, no end, neither external nor internal. It took me a very long time to look at it. It's very simple, actually, but it takes so long time to make the changes. Because at this point you realize that more or less you were pretty happy with your pocket version of God. Infinite kills it pretty much. And you start also appreciating the hand that holds you. Because infinite comes a bit scary.
So hold that hand.
You might say, but I cannot imagine that. And then I say, we agreed some days ago that we would not allow our imagination anymore to limit us. So we were working very hard to find God's hand so that he can take us beyond our imagination. Can you imagine infinity? No, you can't. And trust me, no one can.
So don't even try.
So God has then no borders, neither external nor internal. So what does that mean? That makes him to the simplest being there could ever be. God is the simplest being there could ever be. And now you sit there and say, well, but he is actually pretty complicated. You know, we need a whole school and more, so many books. Like, how is he simple? Our problem is not that God is complex. We are complex. God is not even simple. He is utterly simple. He is utterly one. Now, I am also one, but I have legs and arms and hands and whatever. God is one, and he has no parts. That sentence is important. He has no parts. P-A-R-T-S. Parts. Parts, like partially. That God is utterly one, that sentence you find also in Catechism 202, just in case you don't believe me. God has no parts. Now there is, we agreed somewhere this week also, only one God. Only one God. And this one God cannot have parts. Because what has parts cannot be infinite. So there can only be one God. Why? Because if there would be two, then the one God would be the limitation of the other. If there would be two gods, then the one must have something that the other does not have. Then the one knows something that the other does not know. Then the other can do something that the other cannot do. There must be some difference. God must be infinite. Otherwise, it is not God.
You still with me? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Again, I'm not asking you to imagine it. Imagination we left already, you know, some time ago. That we use when we paint. But now, on our way into God, we just follow his hand that takes us on. Now, there can be only one God. And because God is infinite and perfect, he does not change. God is infinite and perfect, so he does not change. It is very easy to understand. You look at me as if I tell you complicated things. See, if he would change, that means he has after the change something that he did not have before the change. Or every change is either an improvement or, what is the opposite of improvement? What? Disimprovement? Okay, whatever. The opposite of improvement. But God is perfect. He does not change. He does not improve. And he does not worsen. He is perfect. God has many things, but he has no potential. You know, we have potential. That is, I can learn something and can develop something, so in 1 year I can do something that I cannot do today. Maybe you are a potential counselor. You haven't counseled anyone yet. But if this and this happens and God gives grace, then in 5 years the people just line up to have the grace of spending half an hour with you. You have potential. God doesn't. In God, everything is active. In God, everything is active, activated. In God, nothing is dormant. In God, everything is life. In God, everything is unfolded completely. Now, you must be careful that this does not create in you a concrete statue. God doesn't change. God doesn't have potential. Fix. It's exactly the opposite. You cannot be more life than God is. Everything is vibrant. Everything is running. Don't try to imagine it. But for sure, he is not stiff or boring. Okay? Make sure you don't. He is not a statue. He is not a gray kind of being. Are you with me? Okay. In the divine office. Do you talk about the divine office at some point? No. The divine office is a prayer of the church that they pray around the globe regularly, in a 4 weeks cycle. And the prayers that are in there and the scriptures and are very chosen, very carefully chosen. And there's one very nice hymn that is always prayed in the 3rd week during the day. It's very short. Lord God and maker of all things, creation is upheld by you. Aha. While all must change and no decay, you are unchanging, always new. See, this only poets can bring. You kind of say, makes no sense, either this or that. Oh, but God, things are different. He is unchanging, and that what is unchanging is that he's always new. He never changes to become the same. He is always new. Do you ever sing this old song, The Steadfast Love of the Lord? New every morning. The love with which he meets you this morning is not the love of yesterday, also not the memory of last week. The love by which he meets you today, brand new. The mercy that he extends to you today, brand new. Not the one of yesterday. Not some leftover of mercy that he did not need for Ellen. Brand new mercy for you every day. Brand new love. Do you need a 5-minute break? Okay. Let's take a... This is more difficult. Let's start together and finish the break together. Okay, so can we sit again like a 15:15? And please kind of go outside, you know, do some whatever. Don't just sit and reread now. Do that afterwards. Give yourself a 5-minute break, a real break.